If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The Chicago Bulls played their final preseason game yesterday, finishing the preseason 3-2. On today's episode, I want to talk about my biggest takeaways, both good and bad, from the preseason, as we now have 5 days until Chicago Bulls basketball is live and in color. We're going to talk about it all and more right after this.
You are now tuned in to Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for all things Chicago Bulls, hosted by Hayes.
What's going on, Bulls fans? Welcome to another episode of Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related. I'm the host there, Hayes. But more importantly, you guys can follow the channel at Bulls Central Pod on every social media platform we happen to be on. With that said, let's go ahead and get into this content today, y'all. And we got to talk about my takeaways from preseason. We got the good, we got the bad, we got some of the things that we got answered. We got questions, right? So the first thing that we got answered, I think, in preseason is that Modest Bouzelis is ready. If anybody had any doubts that Modest Bouzelis was ready to attack his second season, right? Modest, for what he could do, has eliminated any questions about a sophomore slump. Now, it's preseason. Could he still go through a sophomore slump? Absolutely. But the results on the basketball court that we got from him from 5 preseason games show that it doesn't look like a slump's going to be there at all for Modest Bouzelis. And this has been something that Modest has definitely talked about, the fact that he wanted to avoid, so much so that he picked Ayo Dosunmu's brain on how to avoid a sophomore slump. He called Derrick Rose to talk about what Derrick did in his second season to not have a sophomore slump. That shows you somebody that is being very intentional in how they want to attack their second season. Now, I just want to put this in perspective. As a starter last year for the Chicago Bulls, Modest Bouzelis scored 13 points per game on 47% from the floor, which is really solid. 35% basically from three, 34.9%. He had 4.5 rebounds, 1.9 assists, and one point one blocks per game. That's what he averaged as a starter last year, right? And so far, after starting 5 preseason games and not playing in fourth quarter in a lot of those games, Modest Bouzelis averaged 17.6 points per game, 56% shooting from the field, 39% shooting from three, 3.8 free throws per game, shot that at 76%, 4.5 rebounds, and 1.8 blocks per game. Now, with that said, he did have a bit of a different role than he's going to have. There was no Kobe White in preseason, right? So there's going to be less shots theoretically. We'll see how that goes, right? And how once Kobe's back in the lineup, how that balance strikes out. But Modest Bouzelis not only showed a added growth and ability on the offensive side of the ball as far as taking players off the dribble, just being a lot more intentional about how he moves around the court. All those type of things were legitimate for Modest. You saw that from Modest Bouzelis in this preseason, and that's something that you can't take away from the kid. You cannot take away from Modest Bouzelis how he's been performing in these games, man, and you just love to see that from Modest. But the thing that adds even more kind of excitement around what Modest could be is his added impact on the defensive side of the ball. I can't stress this enough. I'm not saying in any stretch of the imagination Modest Bouzelis is now all of a sudden some defensive beast or anything like that. I'm not saying that, but I am saying that you can clearly see that Modest has taken a step defensively, and the added strength that he added by putting on weight this offseason is evident as well. Those type of things are clear in what you see from Modest Bouzelis, and you gotta love to see that, man. So what Modest now needs to show and what he needs to grow into as well is just being that consistently, right? And if Modest can give you a consistent, like he's, it was 17.5 in preseason, right, without Kobe. Let's just say Kobe being out there, let's say it drops down to 15.5. If he can give you that with consistent defense, which consistent, I know what the word consistent means, but there are going to be some nights where he gets cooked, right? And there's going to be some nights where he does lock down his opponent and some where he's just a functional defender, right? But if you can give consistent impact on the defensive side of the ball, that's my goal for Modest. Now, this season is, can you become more of a two-way player? Can you do that? And if you do become more of a two-way player, how does that now impact your game? Given effort on both sides of the ball, it takes a lot. And I think we can kind of sometimes overlook it because there are some players that make it look flawless in the NBA. But Modest Bouzelis, it looks ready. And that's one of the biggest things and takeaways that you can come out of this preseason. Next up, Ayo Dosunmu. And I said this before, and I feel even more confident about it after watching him in preseason. He is going to have a six-man of the year type impact for this Bulls team. Notice what I said, type impact, right? I don't know if he's going to win six-man of the year. A lot of that for that specific award comes down to team success. But I will tell you this, Ayo Dosunmu looks like he has the game has slowed down to him. And the combination of speed and strength that he has at that guard position has been evident and has been clear. And I tell you what, Ayo, again, like some of these other guys, he looks ready. In four preseason games, he did not have a single game where he did not score in double digits. He had one game in which he scored 22 points, which was really good to see. He shot the ball over 50% from the field in three out of those four games. He finished the preseason, shooting 66% from the field and averaging 15.6 points per game. And it's a little bit different for Ayo because they left Ayo basically coming off the bench the majority of the time that he played. And so he basically played in the same role that he's going to play in. Whether Koru or Kevin Huerter or whoever starts, Ayo's probably going to be the finisher. And he's probably going to be the finisher because of his ability to play on both sides of the ball. Ayo is one of the bright spots for this Bulls team, absolutely in preseason. And we need to walk away understanding that Ayo is about to make an impact for this team. Now, the next thing that I want to talk about, Josh Giddey. Giddey had an interesting preseason, right? Because after the first two games where he shot 28 and 30% in the first two games, right? He only scored 3 points in the first game, but he ended up averaging 14 points per game over the preseason. And then he had three straight games of shooting over 50% from the field. Now, is that just a slow ramp up for Josh Giddey, who did come into the preseason banged up, right, with an ankle injury? Or is this going to be a sign of some inconsistencies which have plagued Josh Giddey at different points of his career? I don't know. But I will say that Josh Giddey looks ready to go. This is a kid that still filled up the stat sheet all throughout preseason. And he's going to have his hands in everything that the Chicago Bulls do, period. He's going to have his hands in it all. And he's the engine. He played all five preseason games for the Chicago Bulls. And that stat stuffing ability that we saw, it was there. He had several games of 9 rebounds, six, stuff like that. And so that's what Giddey's role is on this team. Now, the thing that I think we saw from Josh Giddey that is really promising, those three straight games where he shot over 50%, he had at least six free throw attempts in each one of those games. Two of those games, he had 8 free throw attempts, right? Now, the first two games where he started off slower against Cleveland, he only had 2 free throw attempts in each one of those games. Getting to the free throw line is the next part of Josh Giddey's development. And I know people want to see consistency from three. And yeah, I think a Josh Giddey needs to take about 4 to 5 3-pointers per game, hit that at about a 37% clip if he can, because a lot of those are going to be open for him, especially playing off Kobe's drives. But if he can get to the free throw line consistently, that's going to open up the floor for not only for Josh Giddey, but for his teammates. And that's going to open up more assists for him as well. So Josh Giddey has to lock in those places, but he came on the last three preseason games and he looked a lot more like Josh Giddey, because I know, especially the people that are already ready to doubt and hate on Josh Giddey, after those first two preseason games, they were starting to be loud. And he responded to that with Josh Giddey-type games, which is really good. And the last thing that I think we got the answer to is that Billy Donovan has backed up exactly what he said in the offseason so far, right? I'm going to say the so far part because it has been so far and preseason is a different beast. But the lineups, we got a double big lineup last night, right? And we saw bits of that as well in the last game against Denver, which is really good. Using the full rotation. And I know we've had injuries over preseason, which has impacted the rotation for sure. And I'm not going to act like it didn't. It definitely has impacted the rotation. But Billy Donovan is now going deeper into the bag. Now, I don't expect us to play 11 or 12 players a game once the season rolls around. That's happened very few times in NBA history, right? But I do think Billy has shown a better understanding of how to use players in certain scenarios. And that's been something that no matter how big of a Billy Donovan fan you may or may not be, Billy hasn't always used players to the best of their strengths. Now, there is still Vooch is taking too many threes, but you know, we'll talk about Vooch here on the other side of things. But Billy Donovan, it seems legit. The physicalness, the defense, we saw that as well. And we saw that with the depleted lineup that, you know, and look, Isaac Okoro, the player that we just acquired, he got benched in the game against Denver, right? Now, he ended up not playing in the next game because of an injury. But, I just take and look at those things. Like, Billy Donovan has seemed different so far in preseason in the way that he's handled certain things, in the way that he's talked, and in the way that he wants to adapt. And now this is 2 years in a row, and Billy Donovan seems locked in as well. Now, I'm still not a Billy Donovan guy, but I'm not going to allow that to make me blind to the fact that so far through what we saw at the end of last year, through what we've seen preseason this year, Billy Donovan is focused. And I don't know if it's having a younger team has reinvigorated him some. Same thing happened with Pop when Wimby came there. Like, it was a different Pop until, you know, unfortunately he had some health concerns. And maybe now having this team that is all kind of fit is more cohesive and sacrifices for each other. There are no big egos on this team. No players with super huge contracts either. All those things play into I think we're going to see, if we're going to see the best version of Billy Donovan, it has to come this season. And I'm not saying that it will for sure, but those things look pretty solid in coming there. All right, let's flip it. We started off positive. Let's talk about some of the concerns I have coming out of preseason, right? Is that the Bulls, 5-for-5 out of all five preseason games, got out to a slow start. Now, three out of those five games, they were able to still get the win. One of those games was winnable down the stretch, right? So take that for what you will, especially when we weren't having, Coby White out there. But the slow starts are still a big thing on how are they going to fix that. The turnovers are still a big thing for the team. We've had a couple of games where the turnovers weren't as bad, but turnovers are still a big evident thing for this Bulls team this season. All that's there, right? So you got to look at that for this team and how we're going to get to that. We got to tighten that up. We have to absolutely tighten that up, and we can't allow those early deficits to really ruin the game and make us have to come back too much, right? Next thing is I don't feel like we have a true answer for the starting small forward. Now, Billy Donovan did come out yesterday before the game and said that, you know, they need to get away from having these stagnant starting lineups as far as, like, this is just who we start because that's who we start. Now, I do think that is kind of more of a, hey, I'm still not very confident in any of these motherfuckers starting, right? I feel like it's a little bit of that in that, and maybe that's just me, right? But I feel like that's just a little bit part of it playing into that. So, but for what it's worth, I don't feel like we have a surefire answer. Isaac Okoro looked good, and the defense of this thing that you could be starting him for. Last season, when Isaac Okoro guarded players, shooters shot 5% worse from two and 8.5% worse than the season averages from three, right? And that is legitimate defense from Isaac Okoro. Now, the problem is he ain't hit the broad side of a barn shooting-wise this season. The dude ain't been able to hit nothing. I don't think he can hit water shooting-wise right now. He was a terrible shooter. And I know that Ayo Dosunmu, and shout out to me, right? I'm gonna boost my own horn. This offseason where I was posting, hey, should Ayo start at three? So many, he's not a three. He shouldn't start at three. Now after seeing him, well, Ayo Dosunmu should probably start at three. You motherfuckers. But Ayo seems like he's in that role in the bench, right? And I will say, honestly, between Kevin Huerter, Isaac Okoro, Patrick Williams, I would even say with what Julian showed last night, Daylen showed last night, I don't think they're somebody who has clearly separated themselves in that battle for the starting three. I don't think so. Now, I do think Okoro is going to start the season because you got to make a decision, but I don't know if it's going to stay that way as the season goes on, if that makes sense, and we'll see how that shakes out. The next one, what's up with Vooch? Now, I'll admit this. It's probably nothing. In the grand scheme of things, it's probably nothing. He's probably going to turn it up once the regular season goes on, and he's going to lock in and look more like Nikola Vucevic. Last night was the first game of the preseason that he had a double-double, so maybe that was Vuce's sign of saying, hey, y'all worried about the wrong one here. I got this, right? 13 points, 10 rebounds on 5 of 12 shooting from the field. Still that bad three-point shooting for the preseason. Nikola Vucevic was 2 of 11 from the three-point line, right? But again, we don't want him to take a bunch of three-pointers. But he had 10 rebounds, 2 assists, 13 points yesterday. And so maybe it's nothing. I want to be clear. There's a huge chance that it's nothing. But what the hell is up with Nikola Vucevic, right? That's one of the questions leaving. Is P-Will really ready for a consistent role? What we saw from P-Will this offseason has been encouraging from the standpoint of he looks like he's ready to be a consistent role player for the Bulls. That's how Billy Donovan has talked about him. I think that there's still a lack of trust of what consistency is going to be there for P-Will. But for what it's worth, P-Will looked more decisive out there. That's not to say that he still didn't have some of those P-Will moments where he looked passive. There was still some of that, but he looked a lot more decisive. And it seems like that bench role may fit P-Will. And I get it. I've said it. I've had to separate myself from the 4th overall pick, all that type of stuff, and just look at what P-Will is asked to do in his potential role here. And as it stands right now, it looks like that role is going to be coming off the bench and being a solid shooter and defender. And P-Will looks like he's ready to do that. But is it really consistent? Are we going to be talking about 20 games into the season, P-Will not being consistent again, and then it's going to be Julian or Daylen that's going to take that, right? That's what the question is here. But for what it's worth, P-Will, is he really ready for a consistent role, a lesser role for this Bulls team? And is that going to be the best thing that suits him as a player? Having that lesser role, having that, being that player that, you know, isn't the first 2-3 players off your bench, but when he comes in there, you're looking at him to elevate your defensive floor. You're looking for him to take those open shots. Can he do that consistently? We shall see, right? Now, the next one, what's the real plan for Noah Essanay? Noah had single-digit minutes last night in a game where we were missing some pretty big players on this team, right? Is that an indication? Yuki Carmore didn't really play. Lachlan Albert played a little bit, right? Emmanuel Miller did play. But is this a sign that Noah Essanay is destined to the G League? I'll tell you this. To me, what I've seen from Noah as far as energy, him getting to the free throw line, that's all legit. But does Billy Donovan and AK and this coaching staff feel like him getting more reps than what he would get at the NBA level is more beneficial to his development because he can get those reps at the G League? He may not get 3 shots per game if he were getting some minutes for the Chicago Bulls. But if he goes down to the G League, he can get 8, 10, 12 shots per game while also doing some ball handling, right? And is that part of the development plan for Noah Essanay? That's one of the questions here. And that's something that we won't know for sure until the season starts. So, you know, we'll see what happens there. But what is the plan for Noah? That's still a huge question that a lot of Bulls fans have, because I do think Noah has his fans already. And there are some people that look at what Noah brings defensively, athletically, getting up and being able to run up and down the court and like, we need that on this team. And it's there. And I don't know that, keep in mind, the G League season doesn't start until about 3 to 4 weeks after the NBA season starts. So he's going to be up there traveling with the team before at least the first couple of weeks of the season, before that G League assignment is probably made. And I don't know if he gets any minutes over that time, but we shall see. And then the next one that popped up because of the play yesterday, what's up with Daylen and Julian? How are they viewed? Julian Phillips, who only played 2 preseason games, I believe, maybe it was only 1, but he looked damn good last night. And for a player that has been sitting out with injury, Julian Phillips came into that game and played like a player that you want to see going into his 3rd year, that's been around, right, who's played NBA basketball and just understands, hey, I'm going to go out there and play with energy. His first preseason game, he played 12 minutes, took 1 shot, didn't hit it. Last night, 17 points, 6 rebounds, 1 assist. He did that going 5 of 10 from the field, 1 of 5 from 3-point range. But, you know, the Julian still has tons of talent there. And he's still a guy that I really, because his restricted free agency isn't coming up yet, I still want to see him get opportunities to develop. But let me say this, I want to see him earn opportunities to develop. And if he does, it can make it interesting. Keep in mind, Julian was getting off the bench by the end of last season before P. Will. Now, P. Will seems healthy and stuff like that, so not saying that that's necessarily going to maintain this season, but we'll see. And then as far as Daylon, like, say whatever you will say about Daylon Terry, I think Daylon Terry is ready for a defensive role on this team. I don't know what his shot's going to look like. I don't know how many shots he's going to get, right? Throughout preseason, he made 7 shots. Throughout all of preseason, he played all 5 games. But the defensive effort of him was noticeable in every one of those games. And I also think with Daylon, like you saw last night, he guard Anthony Edwards and he did it pretty well. If that's going to be Daylon Terry's ceiling, right? And I'm just saying that if he's a player that can go out there and give you some solid minutes on one of the better scorers in the NBA, that's somebody that you may want to keep around on the back end of your bench. And this is an important season for Daylon. He is a restricted free agent at the end of this season. So the Bulls have to make a decision on what that long-term future looks like for him. He's not going to get an extension during the season unless he's going to take a super team-friendly contract. But that is still a question that the Bulls have to answer as we go into and try to figure out as we go through this season. But those are some of the biggest things standing out to me for the Bulls so far. You guys can let me know what's standing out for you and some of your biggest questions. Keep in mind, we have a mailbag episode tomorrow and Sunday, so that's your opportunity to kind of tell us exactly what the things you're looking for from this team. I want to hear from you guys. I'll tell you guys how to leave that voicemail or text message here in a second. You can follow us at Bulls Central Pod. You can send us any feedback, questions, comments, concerns, bullcentralpod@gmail.com. Lastly, if you want to leave a text message and our voicemail for the mailbag, the number to do so, 773-270-2799. We are the number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related, but that is thanks to you, lovely and beautiful people. And like I like to end every episode on, go Bulls. Love you guys. See you right if you can, y'all. Peace.
This has been a presentation of the Break Break Media.
What if you could design your own dental implant system from scratch? What would you change? Less complexity? Better bone preservation? Simpler digital workflows? A price that actually makes sense? That's exactly what Biotech Dental created with the Contact Dental Implant System. Clinically proven, intuitively designed, surprisingly affordable. Discover why so many dentists are switching to the Contact Implant System. Visit biotechdental.com to learn more.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger. For the ones who get it done.